It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, we may not be afraid here on Declare Your Independence, but they're trying to make us afeared. There's bombing Al-Qaeda, and it's all bad, and it's always around election time. Does that benefit one party over the other? Well, I'm sure the Republicans think so. We need, I don't know what we need, more anal probes or something. But we're getting to the point now to where I really want to focus in on this ballot thing before tomorrow, because I know it's not going to hit the lamestream media, the media so last century, but it is going to go online. There's going to be individuals that have full access to the internet, and stories will be peer reviewed. You know, there'll be confirmation of other people in the same area. It'll get back and forth and back and forth, and it goes through this peer review process on Facebook and whatever, and the truth will eventually arrive. Maybe, certainly not in the first few days, maybe, but you know, in time, it always comes out. America Online News had my next guest, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, write an opinion. And it's posted on Freedom's Phoenix. We'll have it up there. Cast your ballot against electronic voting. And I'm just finding that it's interesting that you would have a federal judge in North Carolina find in favor of the state's Republican Party, ordering that a voter alert be posted at polling places where the systems are used, warning voters to carefully review their on-screen ballots when using the sensitive touch screen machines. You know, the reason was because people go and vote and it would switch or shift even as they're looking at it there. Was it recorded properly? And how would you know? Now we just want to make sure. Now make sure the computer, you know, at the machine right there did it right. I got you there, Brad. How do we know it was done right? And you know, does this mean anything? I mean, it make me feel better. I'm in a bad mood today, man.
Well, you called the wrong guy, I'm afraid. It doesn't mean anything. You can't know that the machine recorded your vote accurately. That's the problem. I mean, one of the things we do learn here, however, is that when someone goes to court and brings the evidence to show that these machines should not be used in our democracy, what do you know? The courts don't laugh at them and call them conspiracy theorists. The media, you know, doesn't say, oh, these guys are crazy and they're sore losers. Action is taken. Now, in this case, in North Carolina, it's insufficient action to protect the votes of the voters in North Carolina, but this is what the Republican Party asked for, essentially, these warnings and isolating the machines that have had problems, the hard drives and the memory cartridges and the audit logs and so forth from these machines so they can be examined after the election. That, at this point, short of removing the machines from service, and they should be just simply removed from service, that's about all that they can do. Now, I've spoken to some folks in North Carolina who say that, you know, because they have come to rely on these god-awful systems, at this point, this late date, they can't remove them from service because they likely don't even have enough paper ballots, you know, to vote on. Which, you know, makes you wonder, gosh, I hope the damn things turn on tomorrow, because, you know, a lot of times the machines don't even turn on at all, and when they don't, voters can't vote, and if there's not enough paper ballots to cover all the voters, well, those voters are even more screwed than they would be if they voted on these machines, which may or may not record their votes properly. There is just no way to know. And, you know, you had mentioned, Ernie, at the top, as far as the mainstream media covering this. Well, they're covering this, but only the parts that have to do with the phony charges of, quote-unquote, voter fraud. Fox News has been going around the clock for the last, I don't know how many days, once again, like clockwork, forwarding this nonsense of voter fraud, for which there is no evidence. And, in fact, all they're trying to do is, you know, gin up voter suppression and voter intimidation at the polls. That stuff gets on the mainstream media, but the real concerns, the ones that, you know, I know you have been talking about for years, I certainly have, and I wrote again about it today at AOL News, those concerns don't get much coverage, do they?
No, and I'm afraid we've gone through that process here so much that I don't think that the people really care. It's not that they don't care. They've just got to the situation now that they don't anticipate that the electoral process is really going to free them. So we see it by a lack of people voting. I mean, it's going down, 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 down. And as much as we have problems, you would think that it would increase participation, and that's not happening.
Actually, I'm not so sure that is true. I think that voter turnout has been up. It was up in the 2008 election over the 2004 election. That said, you know, the majority of people, you're right, don't vote either because they're perfectly satisfied with the way things are, or they don't think that their vote makes a difference. But I will disagree with you on one point. I do think it makes a difference. I do think that people do care, because I find, you know, when I talk to folks about this and they hear about this stuff, they're outraged, and they do give a damn, and they want to do something about it. I think the only people who don't care are largely the mainstream corporate media and the Republican and Democratic officials who have been elected with these same machines. So, you know, they tend to feel, well, gosh, it couldn't be that bad. It got me elected, so everything must be just fine. And when the politicians, as you know, when the politicians don't talk about stuff, neither does the media, because the media, you know, mainstream media pretty much just reports whatever it is that the politicians have to say on any given
day. Well, the one
day.
Thing that you made the point in your article was that, well, it looks like, you know, the GOP, by all indications, are going to gain seats and maybe even a majority. Do you count on them fixing this?
No, but if they are serious about their concerns and, you know, they're running around telling everyone that, oh, Harry Reid and the SEIU is fixing the touchscreen voting systems in Nevada. Well, if they are serious about those concerns and about the ones that they expressed in North Carolina, at least the state GOP out there, well, they may have soon the opportunity to pass legislation to ban these damn machines once and for all. I mean, and, you know, and that's going to leave us still with another fight on our hands, and it's sort of the one that you guys have up there in Arizona now, which is, well, you got paper ballots hand-marked by the voter. That's good. Now you got to fight to actually count them, you know, in front of everyone, transparently, so you know that the count is accurate.
Well, that's what we've been working on. We've made a lot of inroads in educating the media and the populace, and made sure that they understood what our concerns are. But
and in changing the process that the election officials
we'll talk
carry
about
out
it when we come.
Roads, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Online, I have Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. He's been following elections. And, you know, I'll tell you another person, our senior editor of Freedom's Phoenix is in studio, Pal Gamel. And you'll find this of interest, Brad. Pal's running for U.S. Congress against Trent Franks here in Arizona for the third time.
And Fourth time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I even forgot it was election day tomorrow, except you mentioned it on the radio earlier.
Sorry, Brad. We just don't care that much, man. But, you know, it's an opportunity for us to educate people. And I tell you, you know, Pal's been covering this for a long time, and he's been in the process, he and I both, for years. And I'm wondering from your perspective, Pal, you know, explain to Brad, is there really this an issue amongst the voters, election fraud? They don't even care? Is this something that they're concerned about?
I've never had it come up. I've certainly raised the issue several times when I've had the opportunity to basically tell people that I don't believe the actual ballot counts, and that I have very good reason based on the fact that we actually have a state law that prohibits the counting of paper ballots that are counted optically by anything other than another optical machine. I mean, what's the point of that unless it's to cover up ballot fraud? And then the District 20 debacle that happened, the GOP primary in 2004, mm-hmm. which there was clear ballot fraud, and there's no real point probably in getting into that, but that's the two examples I bring up.
Well, it kind of brought forth the, in 2006, it just so happens I was running for Secretary of State that year. My entire campaign was, you're still voting? I mean, you know, it was so obvious what was going on. Well, of course, the legislature was able to pass, and Napolitano signed, legislation that would require a manual validation, but then they violate that law every which way. We sue, we go through the process. And Brad, you've been tracking our efforts here. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there any other state that's going at it as meticulously, and from the Democrats and the Libertarians, and we're in court, and we're challenging the governors and attorney generals? I mean, is anyone doing their homework as much as we are here?
No, I would say that you guys are really the model. Arizona is really the model for the nation, at least when it comes to, you know, the fight for election integrity. And as I started to say when we started to go off the air before the break, is that you have, your state, the election integrity folks there have made significant inroads. And, you know, I think people want a silver bullet here. And the fact is, you know, the fight for election integrity is not going to have a silver bullet. It is going to be a step-by-step arduous procedure, unfortunately, and in no small part because the media have not picked it up. And I would argue that's why people don't care about this stuff. You know, if you go out and talk to them about voter fraud, especially lately, oh, they'll care about that because, you know, Fox News has been telling them to care about it. Never mind all the lack of evidence for it, but, you know, there's this fake outrage that they have put forward making this case that there's this massive Democratic voter fraud going on, and there just isn't. But that's what, you know, the media...
No, you need to specify that, you know, for the audience. You're talking voter fraud like it's fraud of the voter, and then election fraud is fraud by the system.
Well, that's right. A whole different matter where you can have, you know, a single person flip an entire election on a computer tabulator without the possibility of detection. So they put out disinformation about voter fraud passionately, and, you know, the listeners, the people who do, the viewers who watch this stuff, they do care, and they do take action. Unfortunately, you know, they take action on stuff that they have been disinformed about. So if the media were informing them about the serious concerns about real election fraud, I suspect they would be out there taking action the way a lot of the election integrity advocates in Arizona, as you say, Democratic, Republican, Libertarian, Greens, all working together out there, the way they have taken action and indeed have made inroads and changed the procedures, both down in Pima County and up in Maricopa. They're doing a hell of a good job. If the media was doing their job, you know, we might have had this problem solved by now. So I do reject this general premise, Ernie, that you suggest that, you know, voters don't care about this. I think they do, but until they're informed, they can't care because they don't really know what's going on nor what can be done about it.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, you have this, you know, tomorrow's the election. And what do you think the story is going to be? It's going to be how many Republicans got in or didn't get in, or is it going to be the, you know, the thousands of people that are going to be complaining about the process of them actually casting the ballot?
Hard to know. Frankly, I hope it's the first one you mentioned, because, you know, I fear it's going to be the second, and I'll put another thing forward, which I also fear, is that we're going to have fights about elections all across the country where we've got incredibly close races. You know, focus on your neighbor down there in Nevada. The race between Harry Reid and Sharon Engel, they use, across the entire state, 100% unverifiable voting systems. If that race comes out in any fashion but a blowout in one direction or another, you're going to hear, actually, if it comes out in anything but a blowout that favors Sharon Engel, I think you're going to hear charges of fraud and election fraud and voter fraud. And the fact is there will be little or nothing to be done about it because there will be no evidence as to who actually won that election tomorrow.
Well, what is going to be your advocacy? I mean, you know, here you're someone that's got your, you know, fingers on the wrist of this thing, and you're looking at the overwhelming evidence in any election that crosses your radar. I see your stuff. We post a lot of it on Freedom's Phoenix. And I'm just, at what point do you get to where you start to get cynical? I mean, when does that happen? At what point do you get, because I've been doing this a long time too. You know, it's over 20 years I've been, you know, focusing on this very issue. I remember the first television thing I did for a PBS special one time. They asked me about, you know, what I was doing and why. And I said, you know, it's election law. I know how they're getting away with all the stuff that they're doing because they are eliminating competition before it starts with election difficulty on getting on the ballot or how you qualify or going through, you know, the process. And then, of course, it got to where they just started bringing in this computer thing. And I'm going, oh, I see where this is going. And when I started examining it, at that time in the early 90s, they passed legislation making it illegal to check with the just by hand counting the paper with what the computer said. And I go, well, I know why they would do that, because they don't want you to find the election fraud. That's the only way to find it. So I knew I was on safe ground to be screaming about this from back then. But I'll tell you, it never gets addressed. And the closest we got was after the 2000 election between Gore and W. And all of a sudden, here comes Help America Vote Act. Well, we knew where that was going. And our libertarian candidate for governor now was a prominent libertarian at the time when this was going on back then. He ran in 2002 for governor also. And they wanted him on the HAVA committee in the worst way, just to get that kind of sanction from the libertarians. And he was the only one in the country that voted against it. And I'm just going, wow, wow. And that Help America Vote Act was just to bring about more of the computers under the promise that they're going to fix it. You know, it's a dimpled Chad thing. You know, we won't have dimpled Chads if you don't have any paper to vote on. You know, you don't have any, you know, misread pieces of paper if you don't have any paper. So this was embraced at the time.
You can't have conflicts with the exit polls if you don't take any exit polls, right?
Right. You know, well, this was embraced by the left oftentimes. You know, this was the people they wanted. They were begging for it. Heck, in 2004, after the Kerry thing, I remember you were, you know, screaming for something to be done. Well, you got it done. It got worse.
No. I was never screaming for electronic voting.
No. But I mean, you know, everybody wanted something different.
Well, I can talk to you after the break about that.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, I'm looking for a solution. You know, I'm hoping you can help me out, Brad, because.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I need some kind of, why are we doing this other than just inform people? Are we really going to vote ourselves free?
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, in studio, senior editor and candidate for U.S. Congress, Pal Gamble, sorry, man, and Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, and I want to get into some predictions, and you had some other comments you wanted to finish with. Brad, go ahead, man.
Well, you had asked about, you know, when do you become cynical about all of this, and the answer is I have become cynical long ago about all of this, but, you know, cynicism is the enemy of progress, and my cynicism doesn't matter. What matters is that we continue to fight for, you know, transparent, accurate, secure democracy in these United States. And the fact of the matter is, the fight that you've been at a long time, Ernie, that I've been on a long time for exactly that, we have made strides. You say nothing ever happens. That's not true. We have turned back the avalanche of touchscreen voting systems that would have been in every single polling place had the folks, the Republicans and the Democrats who passed the Help America Vote Act back in 2002 had their way. We have turned back that tide. We now have 20 to 30% of the nation still using these machines, but more and more are getting rid of them all the time. And we continue the fight to get hand-marked paper ballots and the fight to actually count them, you know, publicly. That fight is going to take a while. The fight for, women's suffrage did not happen overnight. It took decades. The fight for African Americans to vote did not happen overnight. It took decades. And guess what? We are still fighting that fight every day. So if you think this crap is going to happen overnight, it ain't. This is a long fight. We're in it for the long haul, but I would suggest that democracy in these United States is worth that fight, no matter how long it takes.
You know, I'm certainly not for putting my head in the sand, but I have always been at striking the root. I mean, I've always been, you know, I don't want to waste my time. Mm-hmm. I've been, you'll find no more focused activist than me or a lot of the people around here. I mean, we are focused on it. Mm-hmm. But I use the election fraud, and we file the lawsuits, we highlight it, we get standing, we go, we're not sitting on our hands. We document all this mm-hmm. stuff, we show up, but it's not with the anticipation that we're going to fix it. That is because we know what we're up against. We know the people and the power that they have. The best that we can do so that we can keep doing it, so that we can still be motivated, so we can still have the fight and the motivation and the ability and the energy to go after this, is because we know how many minds we can free by educating them to what's really going on mm-hmm. and who's on the other side and why and what, you know, where our directions are, our efforts are better directed to accomplish what we want, which is a free society. And I don't want to give the impression, even if it was accurate, I still don't give sanction to the idea that somebody else can vote my goodies from me. It's gotten because it's so bad that it allows that discussion. And I mean, do you allow that discussion? I mean, you know, let's say we get everything that where the, it's an accurate vote count. Then it's going to be, well, then we need to get everybody to vote. Then we need to have them to vote a certain way. And then we need to redistribute the whatever.
No. You've jumped a shark there. I don't care if they vote or not, frankly. I care if they vote that their vote gets, you know, counted and counted accurately. I would say, you know, if I was able to wave a magic wand and assure that we would have, a hand-marked paper ballot for every vote cast in America and every single vote was counted publicly, transparently in front of the citizenry, if that was out of our way, I'd be delighted, and then I would move on to getting to a fight that I've already moved on to, which is, you know, getting the corporate money out of our elections so that they're actually run by people. So that if you want to donate, you know, to a candidate or a campaign, you can't donate to that candidate or that campaign unless you can actually vote in that campaign or for that candidate. I mean, the system has been bastardized from top to bottom, and where things get better, where we fight to make things better in one regard, they get worse in another, as they did with the Citizens United decision, or as they're getting with these jerks who are doubling down now on internet voting, because, you know, electronic voting at the polling place has worked so well. Now they want to open it up to internet voting, which is just mind-blowing.
Well,
so,
they started that here in Arizona with the Democratic Party. I mean, they actually did it, you know, and it was like 2-3 elections ago. They did it in their primaries, and it was just wow. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think that went over real well with a lot of the people, but it's also, you know, in 2004, myself and another congressional candidate, a friend of mine named Bob Anderson, we were both named in a lawsuit that named that particular issue that you're talking about. He was saying that anyone that donated to their, our campaigns that lived out of our jurisdictions, out of the state or out of that congressional district, shouldn't be allowed to do so. Well, of course, it came down to Bob Anderson and I. We filed one reply. You know, we just said, look, we just want to go on record here. You know, it's called the First Amendment, have a nice day. And we didn't respond to any of the court proceedings from then on. We're just going, look, I mean, if you're just going to leave it up to the libertarians to finally come out and get down to the, you know, the bare bones of this thing is individuals can express themselves any way they want. As far as I'm concerned, and that means giving money. So from anywhere, I once you start violating that,
well,
then
I think that argument that money is equivalent to speech is laughable, because that means that you,
Ron Paul Revolution,
have a lot more money than me. You
Ron
have
Paul
a lot
Revolution.
More speech than me.
You know, this is the one thing that why we wouldn't have anything to do with the Republican campaigns of Dr. Paul or any of this stuff, because we knew. We could spend gazillions of dollars in advocating for his message and his campaign. And, but, you know, on this Friday, they have the resurrection of the Ron Paul Revolution on November 5th. Remember the 5th of November thing. When that goes out, will there be a lot of, you know, recycled Ron Paul signs put up? Probably. Will there be a bunch here? Yeah, probably. A lot of guys put up? Yeah, probably. And I'm going, you know, should there be limits on that? Should there be some kind of control? Well, you're in support of something that needs to be tracked somehow. I mean, this whole Ron Paul thing that you saw, I'll guarantee you.
Of people going out and saying, support Ron Paul? No, of course there should be as many people as they want who want to go out and yell and scream.
So what limitations are you looking to have?
Speech. Which part of free speech is confusing? It's not free money. It's
well,
free
it wasn't
speech.
Free, these signs. It costs some money.
Well, you know, if you want to express your speech, that's one thing. But, you know, calling money, you know, making it the equivalent of Walmart's billions of dollars in profits up against, you know, the money that I can't even afford to pay rent each month, and calling that, well, you know, Walmart has free speech and so do you. Good luck to you both. That ain't free speech. And, you know, for libertarians to suggest that money is speech, this is one place where I kind of got to disagree with the libertarians big time, because money ain't speech.
I don't know what you think, pal.
I think that Bill Gates has every right to spend however much money he wants on his free speech as he wants to.
Yeah, see, I don't see how...
He's not spending money on his free speech. He's spending money.
Yeah, and that's free speech. Supreme Court's already said it. Money's
well,
free speech.
The Supreme Court is as right about that as they were about Dred Scott and about the Citizens United decision.
I don't want to get into... Because if we were to argue this to its conclusion, it wouldn't make a difference anyway. You know, I don't see how...
Well, you guys would both be apologizing to me for being wrong, and then we'd be able to move on.
You know, before we let you go, the remainder of this segment, I wanted to give you an opportunity to make some predictions on certain states or jurisdictions that you think are going to be in the news or a problem when it comes to the elections.
Well, you know what? I hate predictions as far as who's going to win and who's going to lose.
But well, I'm just talking about the process and the system
well,
and the fraud.
I did go through, I wrote a piece for Slate last week called The Faith-Based Vote, which sort of goes through a lot of the major, most closely watched contests. As it turns out, some of the closest races where we're going to have some serious problems, because afterwards we're going to have to be relying on these 100% unverifiable systems. We already mentioned Nevada. The entire state uses touchscreen voting in this incredibly close race between Reid and Engel. The race in Kentucky is also going to be decided by touchscreen voting systems between Rand Paul and Jack Conway. Out in West Virginia, the same stupid machines are going to be used to determine the contest between Manchin and John Racy. Down in Texas, the hotly contested gubernatorial race is going to be determined by these type of machines between Rick Perry and Bill White. So I suspect we're going to have all kinds of problems and probably be looking at this election for many months to come before it's all settled.
Well, we'll be certain to have you back when you got the conclusion. And, you know, Brad, thanks for coming on, man. I'm not sure I feel any better, but, you know, it's always good to talk to you and make sure that we're informed about what's going on out there. And make sure that bradblog.com, you go take a look, and he'll keep you informed about this very issue. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock in Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. We're fighting for truth, justice. I don't know what the American way is. What the heck is that, pal? I mean, you know, I remember, you know, it used to be American way. It was, I don't know, it was like good, you know. I'm not sure what it means now.
I think it's being people who are obstinate when it comes to government. And, you know, the guys that lift the bird to the judge or whatever. And you know, you sit there and every once in a while you just think that American character of opposing somebody telling you no is gone away. And every once in a while there's just somebody that still hasn't been beaten down enough yet and educated enough out of that no.
What do you think? Do you think there's are you hopeful there's a new generation of just say no, people? I mean, you know, the government, do we see that the government system has incorporated them into their ranks, so the youth, or with the internet, have they started to go away?
Yeah, the internet definitely has made its impact on the youth. The Ron Paul Revolution, which had very little to do with the Ron Paul campaign, had a lot of activists, young people coming out. I was really proud to be working alongside them. And you had the anarchists types, and you had the progressive types and real progressives, the ones that knew Obama was a joke from the beginning, and Hillary Clinton, who was the anointed one at the time, was even worse. Well, at least the same.
You know the people that I found a lot more in common with were the Dennis Kucinich types.
Yeah, and those people, basically, Mike Gravel and Dennis Kucinich were ground under by the Democrats. They wanted nothing to do with them, and a lot of those anti-war people were ticked off, and so they jumped on board the Ron Paul because he was the only candidate who was truly still making headwaves, being anti-war, being fully anti-war, and he still is. Even today's speech that he gave on funding Saudi Arabia mentioned the fact on his anti-war, all these wars that we're involved with, and these, you know, dumping weapon systems onto the Saudis, who are no better than Saddam Hussein's government. Is just a terrible thing to be doing.
Yeah, but his family, you know, the administration and the previous administration and all the people in Washington, they're buds. Heck, one of the princes is a big shareholder of News Corp, you know, Murdoch and Fox News.
It's the Bush crime family, and they definitely have their inroads with the Saudi princes. There's no doubt they get their money from them.
Well, what's your predictions in this election? I mean, you know, Brad has his perspective, but I mean, you know, someone that follows the news as much as you do as senior editor, for the fact that you're running for Congress, you keep track of a lot of these guys enough to be able to comment when you go talk to these crowds. And I'm just, you know, what do you think is going to happen after this election? People win? I mean, what?
Well, a wise man who's talking on the other side of the microphone once told me that no matter who you vote for, in the end, the government always wins.
Yeah, I'm sure I ripped that off of somebody, but it's you know, that's how it doesn't matter. The government will always win. They'll expand. It gets more expensive. It gets more intrusive. It's gotten to the point to where now they don't even look for the money anymore. You know, the Federal Reserve will get trillions and trillions of dollars unaccounted for. They're supposed to. I remember I was Congressman, what's his name, Grayson?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Grayson had him up there, and they're the person that's to track and audit the money that was given in the TARP and such. And he goes, well, where is it? What happened? How'd you do it? They, well, I don't know. Well, tell me. I tell you, do you know who the person is that's supposed to know? Well, yeah, we're kind of supposed to know if we look, but we haven't looked, you know, so it's just, it's so bad.
And if it was you or I who had somehow unaccounted for $100 of some government thing if we worked for them, We'd be going to
jail.
Oh,
no. It's even worse than that. You don't even have to work for them. If you're running the campaign, when I ran, you know, my last state race for Secretary of State, I was audited, then got charged, sent to the Attorney General because they can. I mean, they were coming after me. I tell you what I did, though. I refused to participate in the, even though it was only three checks that I wrote. I mean, it was, you know, big deal. The thing was, I'm like, take me to court. Because in there, the documentation that they wanted to know my name, my background, my siblings, my sisters, my parents, my wife's parents, my wife's siblings, and their spouses, okay, and my siblings' spouses. And I go, I saw this once in a black and white Nazi movie. You ain't getting it. You can take me, let's go, man, rock and roll, because I am not playing. Finally, it went away. They just, you know, decided they didn't want to play. But this went on for, oh, man, like over a year. They're just hunting. We're going to. I go, you don't get it, man. I want you to. I'd love to get in the court and let's go through this process. And it's just, I'm so, at so many levels. I know Brad holds hope, but I'm just hope to what? If you have a functioning, fixed, accurate democracy with a system that's there to take my goodies against my permission without my consent, I'm not sure that's a step forward.
Yeah, always remember that when you vote, it's basically three wolves and a sheep sitting around the table discussing the lunch menu. I mean, basically, you voluntarily gone into a ballot booth that ostensibly they're going to count the votes, but the outcome, basically, you volunteered to accept the outcome of whatever that vote is, even if it's voting away your rights or your wallet.
And it's sanctioned to the process. Well, if you don't vote, then they're going to do it. And I go, yeah, but not without my voluntary sanction of the process. They go, well, if you don't vote, you're not allowed to complain. Heck, you're just a sore loser then. The only people that get to complain is the one that didn't vote.
That's right. And so you basically have to... they want you to show up and vote because they want your participation. They don't care what the count comes out because you get John McCain or you get Obama as your candidate in the end. So what does it matter? They don't care at that point.
You know what they're going to be screaming about? They're going to be screaming about Arizona being like number 41st in the participation in the census.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, I know. And they're going to say, we lost billions of dollars over the 10 years of federal aid to yada, 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 redistribution.
That must be why we're going broke.
Yeah, that's it. we have the election that's going to be tomorrow. And for libertarians, a lot of people don't know how we do. We already won our election, I don't know, you know, from today back. You know, we don't look to some government sanction tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll have a party. We'll have, you know, the founder of the Libertarian Party, David Nolan, will be up here in Phoenix. We'll go up, Andrea Garcia's running against Russell Pierce, SB 1070 and stuff. And we, you know, that's not an issue here anymore. They don't even bring it up. Why?
If I ever have anybody come up to me and say, I heard you talking and I went and checked out the Libertarian Party in Arizona. And,
yeah.
I started becoming an activist because of you. And I've had that happen. It doesn't happen very often, but it has happened. That makes it all worthwhile what I do. And I don't really care about what the Democrats or the Republicans do because they're going to do whatever the hell they want to do anyway.
Yeah, a lot of these issues that are such, I mean, international, oh my goodness, it just went away. You know, and a lot of what we have libertarians that will go up there and we'll make sure the websites are all informed on different issues and they'll go and they'll read it and then they'll use that as a filter to listen to the other guys or go look at their stuff. They even answer the question and then they'll go, wow, man, these libertarians got it going on. You know, they have, but the big mistake that they make is then I get these calls all this last week. Barry running for governor. Anybody calls, oh, you need to talk to Ernie. You want to get involved? Yeah, go call Ernie. And I've been getting them, you know, all week. And I'm going, Barry, quit sending, you know, what? You know, there isn't going to be any campaigning done in Freedom Scenics Workshop. I don't want to have the campaign finance crap to deal with. But it's, I'm wondering why they want to get involved. Are they just want to see the operation? Are they from the other guys? Or they want to see the last minute stuff? Is there some weird stuff going on? Or are they really concerned at this late moment? Do they finally look at the issues in the websites? I always wonder what the real motivation of people is to wait till the last few days.
Yeah, actually, if you look at, I'm sure every candidate has this. If you look at your web traffic on your campaign site, it's the last 48 hours when you get 90% of the hits that you get throughout the entire year. It comes in the last 2 days, either before the primary or especially before the general election. And it's people do, you know, I think basically there's people that are procrastinators. I'm a procrastinator. And they put it off until they
sit down with their sample ballot. They go through the candidates. They look at the web pages. They see if you use the right colors. I mean, you know, whatever. And so at least they're making the attempt. I'm just glad that we are able to highlight the process itself. You know, that people, because the negative campaigning this election cycle, you would think that it could never get any worse than the previous year. And it gets so bad, you go, oh, it'll never be this bad
again. I actually like negative campaigning. It's like, you know, I think that's the best time. It's like, hey, if they got dirt, bring it out, man. Just bring it out. Now, there's some negative campaigning. You know, there's things I know about Trent Franks that I don't bring up because it's irrelevant to his holding office. But and it's pretty unseemly.
Yeah, this has been really. I was in Las Vegas and saw the Sharon Angle and the Harry Reid commercials that are constant. Every commercial break, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I'm like, and you want me to vote for any of these guys? You know, heck, it just takes off of voting. And the thing is that they do is they make sure that you have this. I remember in 1990 when I was first getting involved in politics, I had it explained to me by a Republican running for governor, and he goes, you accentuate, you have numbers that you bring up your positive numbers and you bring up his negative numbers, and it's a battle for how much you can do that. They have to emphasize the negatives because they don't have any positives. What's the positive? What is it that they, you know, I want this guy to rule me because what? I'm just in a bad mood today. I mean, you know, we got up early. We got a bunch of good stuff that we're having fun with this week. We'll share with you. And we'll do the postmortem on it. But I tell you when the real good's going to happen. It's going to be Wednesday. When Ben Bernanke destroys the U.S. dollar. Yep. That's what's coming. Well, tomorrow we got Dan Guggenkopf, Tempe Mansu's, enforcement of fraud.